For this Trinity Sunday, I decided that I wanted to do a little bit of research. I got out my old theology books. I really wanted to give you a great homily on the Trinity so that I could explain the Trinity in depth so that everybody would be able to understand it. And I realized that I needed to brush up a little bit, so I got the old books out. I did some reading of St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Anselm and St. Augustine, and was reading all kinds of things on the Trinity, and thought I was getting more confused than when I started. And I thought, this isn't good. How am I ever going to explain the Trinity to the people if I don't even get it? So I called up John Mark Miravalli, who is here today, is actually going to talk to us later, from the School of Faith, and I said, John Mark, I got to talk some Trinity with you. One theologian to another here. And after going through it for a while, we had gone through all kinds of Greek and psuche and pneuma and some Hebrew nefesh and some ruah, and we were talking about emanations from shadows and spirations and all kinds of things. And I ended up at the end, John Mark saying, well, I hope that helped. And I'm like, well, I think I'm more confused than when I started. And I had to kind of say, you know what? This is in big trouble. It's Trinity Sunday, and I can't really explain the Trinity. Now, it's true that ultimately, if we could explain the Trinity, God would be, in that way, really not God, because then he would be limited. We are created by God, so if we could explain him perfectly, something would be wrong. So that gave me a little bit of comfort. But still, I felt like we should be able to say something about the Trinity. And the good news is that although we subjectively need to be able to go towards God, the image of our first reading shows that not only does Moses go up the mountain, but that it says that God comes down as well. We can speak a little bit about God, firstly because he's revealed himself to us. Whenever we try to talk about the Trinity, we don't need all the fancy language that John Mark and I might sit and just sound stupid to other people talking about all this Greek and Hebrew. We really don't need all that to talk about God. It makes theologians feel good, frankly, but you really don't need it. Because ultimately, all the arguments we've ever had about the Trinity and what to call God, it all comes down to trying to put into words, first of all, what is ultimately a mystery, but trying to explain a little bit about this God who has chosen to reveal himself to us. And to do that, we have to look at the scriptures. And all the councils in the church, all they've ever tried to do is put into words what the apostles experienced, what the people who have experienced God talked about. On the one hand, it seems like throughout history, we've always said God is one. Everybody knows God is one. But then Jesus comes along and, well, he's God, and we know he's God, but he talks about the Father like he's God, and he promises to send his Holy Spirit, which he says is God. So it's clear that God is really three, but he's both. He's three, he's one, and that mystery is basically all that the Trinity is about. We try to put in language to describe the ways in which it seems that God is three on one hand and the ways that he is one in another. One thing that became clear to me as I read our readings today is maybe not so much to focus on the threeness and the oneness, but really I think that there are two aspects of God that our readings point to today. One is trying to hold on one hand the transcendence of God, the other worldliness of God, the mystery of God, the fact that we can't comprehend God, and on the other hand, that imminent loving relationship as one person to another that Jesus comes to show us of God. And both are true, and we have to hold them in tension. If we go too far one way or the other, that's why we've had all these debates and councils and had to come up with all this theological language to make sure that we stay kind of firmly in the middle. If we look at our first reading, we see that on one hand, it says that Moses goes up the mountain. God is not down here, so to speak. You have to go up. He's transcendent. You go up a mountain to meet him. And what happens when Moses meets God? It says that he falls on his face. There is a sense that we have to recognize with great dread that God is all-powerful and all-knowing. There's a sense that he is to be feared. It said that to fear God is the first stage of wisdom. So we have to hold that on one hand, that the encounter with God is always meant to be a little bit of a terrifying experience. When people would think that they beheld God in the Old Testament, they would fear that they would immediately die. We've got to hold that. It is a bit off-putting to think of ourselves face to face with God. On the other hand, we see that St. Paul tells us of the great love of God. Grace and peace, mercy, communion, fellowship. All these beautiful words that seem to say, don't be afraid of God. St. John tells us beautifully that God did not send the Son into the world to condemn it. Rather, Jesus was sent to show us how much God loves us. That's very important that we keep in mind. God ultimately is not merely out to get us, to keep us down, to create rules, to restrict our lives, but rather God is there because He loves us. He created us because He loves us. He reveals Himself to us, even though He doesn't have to, because He loves us imminently and immensely. He sends His Son into the world so that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, could show us in a human way just how much God loves us. We have to balance that. We find that if we go too far one way or the other, we get in trouble. If we were to merely reduce God to smoke on a mountain and fire in a cloud and the all-powerful maker of all things that is just out to smite us and strike us down at any moment, well, that would fully be the picture of God. That would be a rather fearful, terrifying image of almost this tyrant. So we can't dip too far in that direction. Yet on the other hand, if we were to try to say that, well, God is really just all merciful. He is all loving, so it doesn't really matter what you do, because God will forgive you. Well, that's not exactly the God that's revealed either. God really does expect things of us. He goes to a lot of trouble to send His Son to reveal His plan to us, to show us the great responsibility and call that we have in this life, and that what we do in this life really does matter. Yes, God is loving, and He is personal and imminent. Ultimately, Jesus reveals Him as a Father who loves us. All very true. But like all fathers, it should strike a little bit of fear too. Paul says in the second reading, rejoice, but then mend your lives. It's both. It's that beautiful Catholic both and. And I think it's fitting that we celebrate this Trinity Sunday today on Father's Day, because Jesus reveals His Father to us. And at least in my house, there is always that kind of great little bit of fear that if you know you've not been very good during the day, there's that beautiful phrase from Mom that strikes terror, just wait till your father gets home. Whew. I mean, it's not that dads are somehow evil and tyrant and ready to inflict judgment. No, but there ought to be a little bit of healthy fear of dad, especially if you've not been very good to your mom during the day. When dad gets home, on one hand, it's some days you want to run up and dad's home and you want to hug him. Other days, if you know you haven't been very good, it's like, oh no, go hide in your room because dad's coming and it's not going to be pretty. Fathers are meant to be a little bit of both of that, because ultimately we make the mistake of thinking that somehow God is Father as an analogy to how we are fathers on earth. The truth is, earthly fathers are meant to image our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father is a little bit of look out because dad's coming when we've been bad, but also don't be afraid, dad's here. It's both. And that's really what we celebrate on this Trinity Sunday, what we celebrate on this Father's Day. We thank God for the gift of our fathers who have been there with that needed discipline, a little bit of fear when we were needing correction. But I think maybe even more importantly, that great love. Our fathers are meant to reveal to us a little bit of the love of God. And so on this Father's Day, we hear the words of Jesus reminding us that God is love. He sent His Son because He loved us. We hold in tension these two aspects of God, But ultimately, God remains that mystery. But it is a mystery that is fundamentally love. What can we say ultimately about the Trinity? Perhaps our psalm just says it best. We can just praise the mystery, glory and praise to Him forever. So perhaps the best thing we could say about the Trinity is simply to fold the wings of humility before the great mystery and say simply glory. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.